Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Welcome, welcome to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green and my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, our executive producer. We welcome you this morning with open arms. Oh, wow, what a day. We're already in December. Isn't this amazing?
It's amazing. It's amazing.
I'm telling you, it's just chuckling along, boy. Y'all, if y'all haven't gotten y'all resolutions, y'all better go ahead and get them ready because it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, we got a great lineup today, a great topic, I think, that is much needed for discussion. And that's, you know, the factors of domestic violence. You know, and giving hope and finding hope again and peace after such a turbulent, toxic relationship. Mm. And it's so many different factors with this. I call it mind, body, and soul. It just affects you to the utmost, you know. And the thing about it is individuals that experience this, it's not just the victim of the person that's actually in the relationship, but it affects everything around it.
It does.
It's like a bacteria.
Yeah.
You know? once you get it, it just, it affects everything around you, your family, your friends, your workplace. It's just an ongoing type of situation. So I wanted to explore the factors that even can lead up to a domestic violence. It's different than it's just a, you know, a disagreement or just a confrontation. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something that is ongoing and that's debilitating, that's deteriorating to another human being.
Yes.
And it's not just the prey, or the, what they call the batterer, but it's also the batteree. And then there's the individuals that's inside of the relationship, like children, mothers, fathers, grandparents. I just heard several stories, and we hear this every single day. And not even, I think what happened, we have become immune to it.
Something can become so commonplace where you stop feeling horrified, and that's a problem.
Yes.
I always say it comes from us using violence as entertainment. When you see violence as part of your day-to-day life, whether it's on the news as part of reality or it's part of your TV shows and movies you watch as entertainment, you see people getting hurt all the time. So at some point you become numb to it. You lose the power of empathy so that you can feel what another person is feeling. And when you don't have that anymore, then you don't feel the pain that people are feeling when they've been caused pain. So you stop reacting. You stop wanting to intervene and stop it. That's the challenge we have today, is to stop being entertained by violence to the point where we lose our humanity. We hear
Absolutely.
About domestic violence so much that it, in some places, it's expected. It's overlooked as something normal. And in these times, especially during these holiday times, where people tend to drink a little more than usual, which
Correct.
Means you're going to not be in your right mind. You've altered your brain chemistry, which is going to alter your behavior, your perception of reality. It's going to alter the chemical makeup of your blood, and all of that affects your brain. So you have a lot of people that find themselves starting fights or reacting to things with anger, and you have a lot more incidences of domestic violence. This is why the holidays tend to be a stressful time for anybody who's living in a family where there's alcohol abuse, because these are the times when the violence escalates, and these are the emotional triggers that people feel because of whatever they may have experienced even in childhood, but that same pattern of behavior of the holidays being a high emotion time, high stress time, high drinking time, high violence time. So this is something that we have to not see as normal anymore, so we can be motivated to stop it, to change it, to transform it, and to bring it back to a balance where there is peace.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one thing about before a relationship turns toxic, there's many signs, there's many symptomatic, behaviors, actions, habits, to let you know that person that you are involved in, with, you know what I'm saying, has some issues that have not been dealt with. But what happens is we tend to not be, I call it, mentally alert.
Mm.
Okay, and we think, oh, it's just going, this is just this time, it's going to go away, this is not, you know, oh, I can deal with this, oh, I love this person, I'm going to love them through this, and I know they've been through that. And, you know, we make it make sense to ourselves. We give ourselves excuses and explanations of why we would stay in a domestic turbulent relationship.
And sometimes there's shame. Sometimes,
say again?
Sometimes there's the shame of
mm-hmm.
it. For some reason, you're ashamed that someone else has hurt you, and you've let it happen, and you're still loving them and staying there. you're ashamed of the whole situation, which kind of keeps you there because you can't unravel what's happening, and you're feeling responsible for it, and you're too embarrassed to let people know that you're in it. I mean, how many women do we know that get hit in the face and then they cover it up with makeup? It's so sad, but they're ashamed.
Well, can I tell you something? Brokenness is attracted to brokenness.
Mm.
So, which means that if you're broken inside, you're only going to attract another broken person.
Oh.
If you're fearful inside, you're only going to attract another fearful person. So that's why one should heal.
Mm.
And how does a person heal? They have to give themselves time. And, you know, a lot of people, they don't like to be what they call lonely. Oh, I must be involved. I need someone to complete me. I need someone to tell me that, you know, that I'm good. I need somebody to validate me of some type of way to make me feel that, you know, that I'm wanted. Instead of me having this from the inside, you know, I'm looking for it on the outside. And so when that happens is we can only, again, attract the whatever is inside of us. And that's the reason why this cycle and the factors of this cycle is so extremely important. And the first, I want to examine that same one you just said, which is shame.
Mm-hmm.
But shame, remorse, and guilt go into the same arena. Like, you know, oh, here comes another, I'm shameful because here comes another relationship that is broken, so I'm not going to go into another relationship. I think I'm just going to stay in this because maybe I can't get no better than what I have.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So then they stay in that relationship thinking it's going to be better, but then that person that is causing or contributing, if I can say, because it's always three sides to a story. It's his, it's hers, and then there's the truth, right?
Yep, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, so one has to contribute to a toxic relationship and not just be the victim. Because then once you are the victim, you're contributing to it, whether you realize it or not.
Right.
So you're saying it's okay to emotionally, mentally, verbally, physically harm me. It's all right to do so, and I am going to validate that.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, you did that because I know your father hit your mother. So I know that's going to happen. Oh, I know you get overly stressed sometimes. Oh, I know I may talk too much. Okay, so now you then validate why this person is abusing you or why you're taking abuse or even why you're abusing them. You abuse them, because you know, oh, I'm just stressed out today because, you know, my supervisor did this, so I came home and I slapped my wife.
Mm.
You know, I pushed my child, you know, or whatever the case may be. So there's always in the mental capacities of that human being to give themselves some kind of justification of their own actions. Is that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. It's because you are, that person is a person that has been engulfed with fear, and they have no other way in their mind to express themselves but through what they call rage.
Yeah.
Because that's what rage is. Rage is something that is more physical than it is anything else. Now it becomes a physical component. You're touching something. You're breaking something. You're throwing something.
Yeah.
Whether it's a person or a you know, dish or whatever, you know. And it goes into all of these other dynamics. I just heard a recent story here. Actually, on Thanksgiving Day, a very good friend of mine lost her grandchild. Because that person, a part of the family, a cousin, got into a disagreement at home, left, and they were intoxicated.
Oh.
Had her 9-year-old plus my friend's grandchild, which it was 9 years old, got into an accident to the point where it killed both of the children.
Oh, that's horrifying.
So this is, again, we go back into the domestic violence. There's so many different aspects of it. It's not just something that occurs inside the home, but it's something that occurs outside the home.
Yes.
So that whole family is in turmoil right now.
Yeah.
And these are the holidays that occurred on Thanksgiving night. So guess what? Every Thanksgiving, there's
that
going to be...
a reminder. That's what a lot of people are going through. They had some tragedy during the holiday. So now the meaning of that holiday is ruined for them because it's always going to trigger that sorrowful memory of when that tragedy happened.
Life would no longer be the same. You see what I mean by the domino effect?
Yes.
It's traveling on and on and on. So, you know, how do we repair this? You know, what can we do as a people to repair or to fix, to heal a situation? Like, I think we need to be proactive.
Definitely proactive, and not reactive, and that's a pattern that we have to change because, as you said, you know, you see the signs of it all along. Before the volcano erupts, you hear the rumbles. So before the rage erupts, you hear the rumbles. You hear it in the snappiness and the response when you try to have a conversation, the sullenness, not speaking, the attitude whenever some little annoyance happens. You see it all the time, and if you don't address it while you're still relatively calm, then by the time it explodes, it's too late. One of you or both of you is not in your right mind, whether it's alcohol or drug-induced or just the biochemical response of stress. So
exactly.
You have to catch it before it gets out of hand. We should strive to always be at a state of peace. And anytime the peace is disturbed, we need to strive to return to peace, not just accept being angry or accept being agitated or accept being annoyed all day long as a state of being. That's
mm-hmm.
not the way you want to be because that's going to escalate. It's going to develop into something more unpleasant. So
right.
we need to see being at peace as the norm, not being agitated, irritated, and annoyed as the norm because that's what we're feeling all the time.
Absolutely. And the thing about these factors, I also want to point out domestic violence is one of the things that is the aftermath of failed relationships such as adultery, infidelity, you know what I'm saying, untrustworthiness, when a person loses communication with that individual and they stop trusting them. And then they lead into these other areas of, I call it channel vision,
mm-hmm.
where no matter what the right thing to do, you don't do the right thing. You just start thinking that, okay, if I'm in this relationship for 20 years and then I find out this person's cheating on me and I'm just totally emotional with this. We find that to be here, again, November 6th. You know, I hate to keep bringing bad news, but I have to give this example so people can understand. November 6th, a couple it was a murder-suicide here in Georgia. They had 8 children. So the mother killed the father and then turned and killed herself. So what, you know, there was no mental, I would say, if it was, a very short mental capacity of thought of, what about my children?
Yeah.
You know?
You're not in your right mind. When you take those steps, you're not in your right mind. And so you're not thinking ahead. What is it? Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Absolutely.
So whatever is happening, it's not going to last forever. When I would go through times of maybe sadness or depression or despair, I'd have to remind myself, today is not forever. It's just today.
Absolutely.
So remember that this isn't going to last forever. What was it saying? Trouble don't last always. Well, it doesn't.
It doesn't. No, it does not. How wonderful. Grand rising, beautiful queen teachers from our sister Zelda,
yes.
Very appropriate topic this AM. Someone will be delivered today because you obeyed the spirit within to share the expertise. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much, my sister, because I'm telling you, it is systemic It is every time you turn your news on, there is always a domestic or family violence. Never, every time.
And most of the time, we don't realize it, but most of the time, the violence that we see outside is from what happened inside. Now,
absolutely.
That situation, I understand the person who plowed through those people during the Thanksgiving Day parade in Wisconsin had been embroiled in a domestic violence situation.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So it, somehow that didn't get addressed. And I really... I'm striving for the day, and I really I want us to work with everybody who understands to transform our criminal justice system into a human healing system, because it doesn't make any sense to punish people for being in pain. When you act in a way that shows you're not in your right mind, it's because you're in pain. The normal state of being is peace, it's love, it's joy. That's the normal state. Because that's the God mind, and we're all expressions of the God mind. When we lose our minds, then we descend into violence, into meanness, into hurtful behavior. So we have to heal from whatever triggered our loss of mind, our loss of the God mind that is our original mind. So rather than punish people for reacting to pain and therefore causing pain, we need to heal them from their pain so that they are no longer giving pain. And that's what that's what I envision us transforming, that whole system of addressing people who have hurt people from one that is punitive to one that is loving and healing and understanding and compassionate. That means we have to be restored to our God mind and to realize that the mind of God is not punitive, not angry, not jealous, not vengeful, not all of these human emotions that we have ascribed to the creator of the universe. The God mind is only loving. So when we can transform all of our systems on earth to loving, joy-giving based systems, then we'll change the way we respond to people who are hurt because they have been hurt and therefore they're hurting others. We can heal them. That's our challenge and that's our goal. And once we see it manifest, then we'll see a change in what we're hearing on the news every day, which right now is pain, hurt, and violence.
Exactly. Pushing for peace. Oh, my goodness. I love that.
Yes.
I love that title. When I saw that, I was like, oh, yeah, this is good.
That is our theme for 2022, and we're launching it this month. And January 1st, we're going to be inviting many who are working in various capacities to change behavior, inviting them to a global summit, a global sharing of people. Tell us your programs that have been helpful in changing the hurt and helping people heal. Share so that we can duplicate the efforts. That's what we need to do, is we duplicate the efforts of those who are striving to help people regain that inner peace so that it can be expressed as outer peace, then we can see a spreading of a new vibration, a new spirit. So join us for this global gathering Saturday, January 1st, right here on the Female Solution, 12 noon to 2 p.m. And our host from London, Jana, will be joining us, hosting this global event as we connect with people from all around the world who are seeing this problem and seeing that the real solution is love. That's what we're sharing.
That's it. And it starts one individual at a time.
Yes, one soul at a time.
Once you can get to your place of peace, and then it permeates everything around you. Everything around, and then, you know, the thing about it is that's the hardest thing for one to work on is self-peace.
Yes.
It's all because you got to look from the inside out. You can't, I mean, you can look for other people to gain, to give you peace, but at the same token, their peace don't belong to you.
Right.
You know, once you gain your peace, and then you link up with someone else to gain peace, and this is how this interlinked, global, you know, peace then spreads.
Yeah.
Because there's enough out there, like you said, hurting people, the misery people, love misery.
Mm.
Hurting people can only give hurt.
Yeah, you can only give what you have inside. That's right.
It's what's inside. But at some, one thing about love, love permeates everything.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter what's happening. It's going to permeate. And the more love you give, even in anger, if someone's angry, you give them love, they can't. That's one thing that is the humility part of love. It's the strongest component. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens, because it's always you're going to win. And it's not about you just winning, but it's just spreading that love so that individual should know that it's okay. It's all right if you're upset, but you don't have to destroy something when
right.
you're upset.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, Robinson, Grand Rising, beautiful Queen Sisters,
yeah.
thank you so much.
Thank
for
you,
watching.
Beata. Yes, looking forward to health
yes.
and well-being with Beata tomorrow. Yes.
Yes.
And I'm so grateful
absolutely.
For our team. I'm really grateful for our team of hosts that bring so much enlightenment every day. And we know our soul's journey is to heal from within and then share with those around us so that we can bring that peace. And,
exactly.
you know, I really am grateful for all of those who call in, listen in, and are a part of our global family. Because we've had some really interesting guests and callers that in many ways have shared a lot of their very personal stories. And it really does help to know you're not alone. So much of the shame that we feel sometimes is believing that nobody would understand or forgive if they knew who we really are or what we really did. And everybody has done something. I look at life as a road. It's a journey back to the God mind, the loving, peaceful spirit. But
mm-hmm.
along that road, you stumble. You go through some rough places. So everybody is somewhere on that road, and our behavior is basically just showing people where we are on our journey back to the God mind that was our original mind. So if you can see people as on a journey and see them not for what they are, but for where they are, and then forgive them for maybe they're going through a rocky part of the road, maybe they're not able to see, maybe they're going through a dark stretch of highway on their road of life. I mean, have you ever traveled on those backwoods?
Yes.
There are no headlights. There are no street lights. It's just darkness.
Just darkness.
Well, some people, that's where they are. They can't see. And so they make bad decisions. They have accidents. They hurt people because they can't see. That's where they are on their road. And if you understand that, then you can forgive them for what they do when they just couldn't see any better. They didn't know any better. They couldn't understand. But that's not where they're going to be forever. That's just where they are right now, which shows in their behavior. You know, they're in a dark place where they can't see. So, I mean, what do you do when, say, if you're driving along the highway and there's a motorist and maybe they got a headlight out? Well, if you put on your bright lights and shine your lights a little brighter, then maybe they can see where they're going. And that's what we have to do for people who are traveling in darkness. We have to shine our light a little brighter so they can see. They have to be able to see how to love, how to forgive, how to understand, how to have compassion, how to share. If we shine our light brighter so they can see, then they can understand. And maybe we can prevent some of those accidents that happen along the dark road that they're traveling.
Absolutely. I often, when I am counseling, I often tell people, if you're not using your self-powers, then what's going to happen, you're going to be retroactive. And your self-powers is where you have to master oneself to not just react to all the negativity that you're given. It doesn't matter how it's coming from the external. It's how you're responding to it. Not reaction. Reaction is like a knee-jerk
yeah.
type of thing. Now you're impulsive, which means that you're hypersensitive to everything that's coming towards you. But if you start using what they call the wise mind is the balance between the emotional and the reasonable mind. When you start using that wise mind and not allowing yourself to be like I said, so reactive, then you slow down your processes so you can think. It's called using the power of pause. Take 5 or 10 minutes. Pull yourself back out of whatever situation there may be. And you sit there and you ponder. Sometimes you even have to get paper and pencil. And you say, well, if I go this route, what is going to happen? And I think one should have a conversation with themselves when they are in a difficult situation so that they can actually come to a logical, reasonable, rational, you know, response instead of just saying, oh, you're hurting me, you're, you know, I'm going to do something to hurt you back, you're angry, I'm going to use anger to respond, you know, to react to you. One thing you have to use is this wonderful brain that the Creator gave us. He gave us the opportunity to understand space and time. The brain can only occupy one thing at a time. You have 45 seconds. And 45 seconds you think is a short time, but it's not. You have 45 seconds to change a thought process. Because life is just like playing chess. It's like, you know, you take your time and you calculate your moves.
Yes.
Instead of being so impulsive. And even if you're in a domestic situation that turned toxic, but the thing about it is, have you been calculating from the very beginning? Calculating is looking at the signs and understanding the signs that are probable, but most of all that are revealing to you this is a troubled area for you.
Right. Yes.
So it's up to you. So we're going to go for a commercial break, and we'll be right back to talk a little more about that.
Absolutely. And if you're in a situation, or you've been in a situation where maybe you even had to flee for your life because you realized this is not going to get any better and this person is subject to be extremely violent, I have to leave. If you've been in that situation, we want you to share your experience, the wisdom of your experience. Give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. If you're on our switchboard now and you have a thought you'd like to share, or maybe an experience that's given you some wisdom, press 1, and we'll be glad to share your thoughts with our listening and viewing audience here on Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And we'll be right back, so stay with us.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Hi.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Outcome will be. You may not know exactly but it needs to be on the positive, you know. And then you have the power of, what they call it, of now, staying in your present moment. Staying in your present moment helps you to stay present in your life, because this is all the power that you have.
Right.
You cannot go back to the past. I mean, you can go, and I call it like a room. You can go peek in that room, but you're not allowed to go in that room and close the door, because you will no longer be present, and you'll find yourself not having the power that you need to change your life. Power of change. A lot of people are afraid of this type of power because they fear change, because they want to be, they used to be habitual, you know, they form habits. So if there's ever change, then they get very uncomfortable. But again, change is inevitable. It's going to happen. And a lot of these times, it has to happen for something to get better, something to get, you know, to get stronger. Then you have the power of growth. Growth is a part of our life. It comes with lessons. It comes with opportunities. It comes with even with mistakes and errors. So all of these powers and many more are the ones that we need to really focus on. And when one has this last one, which is the power of self-love, self-love puts you at an advantage where you no longer allow anything to tear you down or to deteriorate you in any type of way. And you're strong enough to tell whatever that thing is, well, this is not healthy for me, if it's another person. There's so many ways to tell another person that you no longer want to be in a relationship that's toxic.
Right.
You know? It's so many different ways. You know, no is not a dirty word. It's all about how you describe it. You're no longer healthy for me. I don't think this is working for us anymore. I think we've come to an end. And even if that person doesn't understand and they may get upset at you or whatever the case may be, you have to then analyze that situation. And if it looks like they are putting you in harm's way, immediately find shelter. Get out of that particular relationship. Staying in it is not the course. That is not that's not the answer.
Absolutely.
You have to form a way of escape. And the only way you're going to do that is to use those powers.
That's true. As long as you see yourself as a helpless victim, then you've given away your power to whoever you think is victimizing you. And you always, as you said, you have the power of intention. And Beata says, what about codependency? You know, it's interesting when you think about it, it takes two for a toxic relationship, because you can be toxic all by yourself. But if a person chooses to stay with you in your toxicity, there's something in them where maybe they need to feel powerful or feel in control. Say a person who stays in a relationship with someone who has an alcohol abuse problem, and that person is choosing not to get help for their physical addiction, and their behavior is unpredictable and erratic and sometimes violent, and you keep staying there thinking, well, I'm going to be supportive, I'm going to help them, I'm going to love them through this. Why are you choosing to support their toxicity? You know, that's a kind of a codependent situation, because sometimes that person may need to feel needed in order to feel that as long as this person needs me, they're not going to leave me. And you know, and I had this conversation with an associate just yesterday, the fact that many times when a person has been abandoned early in life, there's always a fear that someone's going to leave them. So they become clingy, and then the person with the problem, the addiction, they're clingy because of whatever lacking in self-love that they have. So you get this codependent kind of relationship where both people are afraid and they stay together in a toxic situation. And because neither of them will change the pattern, the relationship never changes. It just continues and continues. And then if the person with the chemical dependency, whether it be alcohol or drugs, if they get to a point where they are so out of their right mind that they become dangerously violent and violent to the point where they have injured you, you got to then go to the hospital and you got to either you're going to tell what happened, you're going to lie to protect them because you're ashamed that you let it happen or you're blaming yourself. All of those kinds of codependent, toxic relationships, both people have to look at, why am I allowing this? Why am I staying in this? Why am I not getting help for my situation? You have to love yourself enough to get help.
Well, one of the points I want to make in codependency is a lifestyle.
Mm.
It's a lifestyle where another individual feels, thinks that they have to have the involved life pattern of this other individual in some capacity, which means that I feel responsible for you. I feel obligated to you, and whatever you're going through, I must go through as well. I must live my life to please you, and you must live your life to please me. So it's like you're walking, I call it too close for comfort.
Mm.
So you are in this relationship, and it becomes a habit, behavior, actions on a everyday type of lifestyle. And, you know, the thing about this, it's nothing strange about this, though, Naima. Because guess what? We were taught codependency when we were very young.
Yeah.
Think about this.
Yeah.
When our mothers or fathers or whoever raised us, you know, reared us, they said, you know, I need you to do this. I need you to make your bed, eat your food, go to school. You know what I'm saying? You need to. They were always telling you what to do.
Yeah.
When you got to, you know, elementary, play school, wherever you started, they were still telling you what to do. So we really live in a codependent society because something is always telling someone what to do and how to do it. And so when it's time for that person it's a slow fade. The self-identity that is needed is lost in codependency. I don't even know who I am anymore because I'm so busy doing something for someone else.
Yeah, being
so
the thing I think I should be.
Exactly. Yeah. So I've lost my self-identity. A lot of my clients and patients tell me that all the time. I don't know who I am anymore.
Mm.
I have no idea who I was. You know, I never knew who I was when I was a child because I was so busy following and listening and doing that, you know, I never did anything for myself, and we call that emptying out.
Mm.
You empty out to the point where you even scrape the deepest parts of your inner being trying to satisfy another individual. And if you're trying to satisfy a person that's already broken, that's already to the point where they have not a codependent life, but they could be a narcissistic. You know, they could be, it's so many personality defects out there that you're trying to, in your brain, and your loving self, trying to satisfy someone else that cannot be satisfied.
Right.
No matter what you do, because guess what? We cannot live for people.
Right. They must live for themselves. And
absolutely.
You know, that state of not knowing who you are, I find that happens a lot of times in marriages, especially in marriages where women have kind of been conditioned to submerge who they are and blend with this other person and live for them. I mean, many cultures kind of condition women to be that way where you become someone, you're just living for your spouse in service to your spouse rather than your own self-development. And then when that person passes away, they're like, who am I? You know, I used to be this person with these ambitions and these dreams, and now I lost that living for this person for 20, 30, 40 years. Now they're gone. Who am I? And maybe I don't even have an identity now, or maybe I don't remember who I was. I don't even remember how to live in service to myself anymore. And
exactly.
that happens quite often. And unfortunately, if you have adjusted to an abusive relationship for years
Correct.
And years and years, you are broken on the inside because you allow your sense of selfhood to be destroyed by someone who you believe you had to stay in there with that situation, and you had to stay in there through their toxicity, and you had to take the abuse, and you had to just stay there because that was your duty. I've met so many women who believed it was their duty to stay in a toxic situation because they said some vows in a house of worship before some people.
Correct.
I promise to God. But
yes.
Your first promise must be to yourself.
So,
you
yes.
must love yourself enough to only allow love to be a part of what's in your life. If you are stuck or you're choosing to stay in a situation that's unloving and painful and hurtful, and you're feeling bad about yourself, but you won't leave because something in you is saying, God will hate me if I leave, or I will go to hell if I leave, or I'll be punished if I leave, or society will look down on me if I leave. You have to examine, where did you lose the self-love? Where did you lose your self-love? Because you don't deserve to be hurt. Love doesn't hurt. And couples really have to, if you love yourself and you know that you're hurting someone else, you have to love yourself enough not to want to be someone who hurts other people and choose to get help. But many of us, like you say, you know, narcissistic, self-absorbed, don't care what you're doing to other people, angry, you know, all of these things that we have that are unhealed wounds, we bring them to relationships. And if the relationship is not one that's bringing you peace of mind, then it means it has to be fixed or dismantled. But you must choose to be at peace.
Yes, absolutely. And peace is a choice. It is. It is. So fear takes away your choice. It takes away your voice. It takes away everything. You know, you'll find yourself in a place of total despair when you stop allowing yourself to have your voice. I think that one other thing that is a factor to domestic violence is, again, like you were saying, cultural differences as well as religion. Because they stay in these relationships because they think that's what they're supposed to do, and that's not. There's no way that our Creator or any person should allow themselves to be in a suffering state just because they think someone else wants them there, you know, and because it affects us. And I believe that it is generational as well. I believe that it is something that's passed on from one generation to another generation, because there is a spiritual component to this, Naima.
Yes.
It is a spiritual component. It's not just a physical. There is a spiritual component. You know, what causes the fear? What causes the ongoing, you know, turbulence of these actions that a person would take to destroy another human being to the point where they take life?
Yeah.
It's going to get so obsessed. Now, no one can tell me that one just gets that much obsessed just by their own means. I think there's an energy behind this that actually contributes to it mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, that causes a domino effect of things to happen over and over again.
Well, think about the thought. Turbulence. Oh, we'll talk about that. But think about the thought that I own this person. I own you. You are mine. You're my man, my woman, my husband, my wife, mine. And I have the rights over your emotions. I have the rights over your behavior. I should control you. If you don't do what I want, if you don't do what I want you to do, I'm going to hurt you. Think of the conditioning that creates that belief that we have the right to own another being. No one can own anyone else. All of us are free souls, free will. And people choose to be with you of their own free will. I was doing some research the other day for another book I'm writing, and we were looking at the origins of marriage and the whole idea of ownership. Now, we created that as human beings, ownership, and then having the state say that this person owns you, or having a religious institution pronounce that you must remain under the ownership of people. That's a man-made concept, because coming together as couples, as mates, as loving partners, that's something that has that happens in every species. But we have this thought of official legal ownership that we're in our own incorrect thinking, believing is a thought backed by the Creator that you can own someone, which gives you in your mind the right to abuse them if they disobey you. That kind of thinking has to be unraveled, dismantled, disassembled, dissolved, so that we can have truly healthy relationships based on free will, so that we will be together because we love each other and enjoy each other, not because you own me and I'm afraid to leave because you might beat me or kill me, and yet you can choose to not change your behavior that's hurtful, and I must stay here and suffer through it. That belief system has to change. It has to be transformed. And much of that thought is something we as women have upheld because for generations, that's what's been taught to us. And so we have allowed it. We've demonstrated to our daughters by staying in abusive relationships, teaching them that your husband owns you and has the right to abuse you if you don't do what he wants. That's not a healthy relationship for any being. So we have to transform what we believe about relationships as being ownership pacts when they're not. They're free will choices brought together for the mutual desire for love and the mutual expression of love. And if we have changed our feelings and the love has dissipated, either we can rekindle it or we choose to peacefully part, but not a situation of, well, if I can't have you, nobody can have you. And then you have a situation where somebody decides to kill the spouse, the whole family, and themselves, and a tragedy that so many people suffer as a result.
Well, then, okay, I want to clarify something for Vienna. Turbulence is anything that distracts, interrupts, and causes a defective or dysfunction reality. Mm. That's what I mean by turbulence. And that can come from any direction, you know, any stimuli. It doesn't matter if it's a person, place, or thing. But it interrupts that person's life and causes defective or dysfunction. And it can be ongoing, which is longevity, or it can be acute, which is short term. Okay? So when that happens, then we get into, if it's ongoing, which is a continuous, then what happens, we get into what they call a brainwashing. A brainwashing is then creating another network of thought that is unhealthy. Okay, it can either become suicidal or homicidal.
Mm.
And that's how these things occur. They get what I call channel vision. That means they only think one way of thought. There's no other perpetual, no other logic, no other rationale. And there's a good chance, if we did statistics on these individuals, that they're suffering with a mental illness. Okay, they have either diagnosed or not diagnosed mental illness, and they have actually continued this pattern of life over periods of time, and it has festered and become very severe, and that's what they permeate. They give this out openly to whoever, children, it doesn't matter, what they call a human factor does not matter to them. They don't look at, they become emotionally absent. They become very cold-hearted, and then they become calculating. You know, they start doing things that, like you said, things that you wouldn't imagine. imagine another person doing to another person. Intentionally. Intentionally. So that turbulence is a very strong factor in domestic violence because a lot of times, again, they'll go into all of these transformations mentally. And they may start off really nice at first, but guess what? No, they're not. That's a representative. That's not the person. There's something behind that. So we're going to go ahead and take another break, and then I'll expand on that once we come back. And again, what's that number there, please?
515-605-9325. That's 515-605-9325. And press 1 if you'd like to speak to our host and join this conversation. We'll open your mic and add your voice to the conversation. If you're on our switchboard now and you have a thought you'd like to share, just press 1. That'll light your number up, and we'll know you have something to say.
Thank you.
And you are listening to and watching Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And we will be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. And if you are watching us on Facebook, or would like to join us on Facebook, go to Facebook and type in Soulful Solutions, and you will see us live. And feel free to write in your comments on our Facebook screen, and we'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we will be right back. So stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Solutions, and I'm Dr. Debbie Green with our wonderful host, Naima Latif, our executive producer. Our topic today is the factors of domestic violence and finding hope and peace again. And I know we just left off. It was, like I said, this is such a topic that is an ongoing topic because, again, what we have to know that our children are tremendously being affected by these type of situations. So we need to have more responsibility to ourselves and to our families so that we will be able to help one heal and not spread this type of behavior, because it's easy for us to get caught up into it. It's an ongoing battle that we face daily. But again, we can only change one person at a time.
That's,
you know,
nice.
But we want to spread that love.
Yeah.
We want to spread that love.
Yesterday on, because once a month we have like a men-only discussion, so that, you know, the men can talk among themselves because they have such deep hurt, and often they mask it with all of these various, as they call, toxic masculinity, all these behaviors that are often hiding the hurt, and violence being one of them, self-medicating through drugs is another, promiscuous sex is another, but so much of what they fear is loss of respect, and some of that is so deeply rooted in, at some point early in life, having been shamed, humiliated, made to feel powerless. And so they bring all of these things into relationships. And as you say, you know, you come into a relationship broken, then you can only share your brokenness, and you're going to attract somebody
right.
broken. And mm-hmm. often they are triggered by whatever in their own minds is disrespect from a woman, whether she raises her voice or disagrees, just simply disagrees. And their idea that she is not supposed to challenge them, or the idea that her disagreeing is an act of disrespect, and then it triggers the emotional response of anger, and then the anger gets out of control and becomes violent. And I've seen so many people try to justify this behavior, and I've even been in conferences on domestic violence where the men in the group would say, well, if women would just learn how to keep their voice down and not rear up at a man. And I'm thinking, how is it that you're justifying someone else's out of control behavior, making it the fault of someone else because you're choosing to react with violence? That's a thought that we have to correct in our society. Nobody can make you mad. Nobody can make you hit them. Nobody can make you respond with violence. You're choosing to do that. You're
right.
choosing to unhinge your control of yourself and violate someone. You're choosing that. So our responsibility is always self-control, no matter what someone else does.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one thing I want to say in observing, which what I thought was really masterful, which some people still don't really understand, when they watch the nonviolent protest movement that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. led, and how they trained the participants not to hit back when someone else hit them. And some people say, well, how do you let people beat on you? Well, he had a strategy and a tactic. The whole thing was to let people see the other people's hatred, let people see the other people's meanness, let people see the other people's imbalance so that they can see the ugliness. And so if you are not retaliating, you are issuing forth no act of violence, then all of it is on them. And then it becomes apparent who is wrong. So it was a political tactic. It was also meant to induce some level of shame in a person. You're beating somebody. They're not hitting you back. Look at yourself. Look at yourself. So
mm-hmm.
it served a lot of purposes. A lot of people didn't understand the spiritual component to that particular strategy, and making people who had hatred in them see themselves, because that's all you had in the mirror to see is yourself. That other person's not retaliating. So the only person that's acting ugly is you. And that's part of having control of yourself so that no matter what someone else does, they can't make you act other than a loving being.
Absolutely. One of our viewers on Facebook says, Mr. Brian Vickers, two people, they have issues, dump on each other. And that is very, very true, because the thing about it is, remember, brokenness is attracted to brokenness. It's that we often say, and a lot of people ask that question, why do I attract these type of people? Say one must look inside themselves and find that area. You know what I'm saying? Something's inside of you that's attracting something is out. That doesn't mean you have to respond to it the same way. You know, it's just that you need to do some soul searching and look inside yourself to find out if this is the case, if you are attracting a toxic person, you need to find, okay, what's inside of me that may be toxic that I'm attracting this person?
Yeah.
And eliminate that. You know, eliminate that as much as you can. Here's another question here. Vienna says, how do you deal with our heel being triggered and angry?
Being triggered. You have to discover the source.
Correct.
And usually it's something that goes way back. What happened, you know, as Brian's talking about, you know, people dump on each other, most of the time what is inside of you was something that was planted long ago. It's like you see an oak tree. Well, you know, there was a seed long ago that grew into that oak tree, and now it's deeply rooted. But there was a time when it was just a seed. So you got to go back to the seed. Where was that seed planted inside of you? And now that it's grown and taken root, you have to get to the roots. You have to see what was the beginning. A lot of times it was either some event or something said. Something happened that created that feeling. And so what's happening is that someone does something that causes you to remember that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts you. And so you respond with the anger of being hurt. But you got to figure out what memory, and it might be a long time memory, long ago, what memory is being triggered? What memory of hurt is being triggered that's causing you to respond with anger?
And I also want to let you know, being triggered is a normal response to anything. You could be triggered to a loud sound. You could be triggered to a smell. You could be, and it reminds you, because in our subconscious mind, if you were triggered to something that, like of the past, like Naima said, that was uncomfortable for you, so automatically you get what happens is the conscious mind trumps. The subconscious mind trumps the conscious mind, which means that however you responded to something that made you angry before that's similar to this particular trigger, you're going to respond the same way. So how do you deal with that and heal from it is even when you're triggered by it, that does not mean that you stay in that process. Which means, okay, for example, if you're angry, okay, I'm angry because of this. I triggered this, something happened, something was said that, you know, and I'm responding with anger. I'm responding with discontentment. So, which means that I can either stay in that mindset or I can make a conscious choice and say, would this matter, you know, 3 months from now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, would this matter this time tomorrow? You know, you have to analyze it. Otherwise, the subconscious will just continue to react the same way it's been reacting. So, you know, it's a coping skill. It's a coping skill that is used anytime, especially with PTSD, you know, our victims of trauma, when these things trigger you in some type of way, you have to stay in your present moment. Like, okay, I'm upset. This is my present moment. I have the choice to either stay upset or then remove myself from being upset. Regardless of how I what happened. I don't care if I'm dealing with the person, the place, or thing. I make the choice. The choice is mine. The choice is mine to say what I have to say and be done with it. Put a period there. Put a period there and let your conscious and your subconscious mind know that, okay, that's it. I'm done with this. I've already said what I had to say. I already done what I had to do, and I'm not going to keep this going on and on and on, because again, the subconscious will then trump the conscious mind if that is the case. And this is how we start worrying, obsessing, ruminating, whatever thought pattern that is. It's just going to keep you upset. Your whole day will be messed up. You end up going to sleep that way, waking up that way.
Yes.
Before you realize that you get caught up into emotional hijacking. That's
yes.
what I call it.
Emotionally hijacked.
So I hope that it kind of explains it. And so, again, you have 45 seconds after that emotion hits you from whatever situation. Okay, you're like, okay, now I'm upset. All right, let me go ahead. You know, let's process this. All right, I'm not going to allow anything to take my peace today. That's not going to happen. And, you know, now you're processing. Otherwise, you'll just be impulsive. And, I don't believe this, and, you know, now you're all disturbed. Again, turbulence.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get it? Turbulence. Then either it's going to be acute short term or it's going to be long term. The choice is yours.
Yeah, and that's so important to know that it is your choice, and that's why you have to use the power that you have to choose, the power that you have to plan, the power that you have to create, the power that you have to determine what your reality is. As long as you're believing that other people are in control, then you're always reacting. And we have to be proactive. You have to proactively get rid of a negative response. You can't wait till a person comes back, well, I'm gonna be mad until they apologize, or I'm going to be mad until they admit they're wrong, or I'm going to be mad until I get revenge. You have to choose to change your mind. Basically, that's what you're changing your mind, changing your thoughts. And you have the power to do that. We get stuck in a state of thought that is hurtful and destructive, and we suffer because of our own thoughts that we have created about a situation. Even if someone said something that was, in your mind, mean-spirited, hurtful, intending to make you feel bad, you can focus on that. You can get angry about it. You can react to it. You can scream at them, holler at them. Or you can choose to change your mind and focus on another reality, focus on another conversation, focus on another moment, focus on another feeling created by another moment, rather than focusing on that person's behavior and statements and intentions that you believe were to hurt you. You can focus on that and empower that and make yourself feel bad, or you can change your mind and focus on something else and be at peace. The whole thing is to always seek to be at peace. And if someone disturbs your peace, you have to change the habit of allowing it and empowering them to continue doing it. So we can get in these patterns in our relationships where we're constantly triggering each other. You say this and they get mad, they say that and you get mad and you go back and forth. And that's what happens with couples. That's how relationships end up falling apart. They keep triggering the hurt in each other rather than choosing to heal first the hurt in themselves and then to stop retaliating by intentionally causing hurt in the person who they feel hurt them. And one person has to make a decision to change that pattern. If you both keep going at each other, you both keep dumping on each other, you both keep hurting each other, and nothing changes. It just gets worse and worse and worse until it explodes. And then can you repair the damage? So someone has to choose to take control of themselves. You can't change the other person. You can only change yourself.
Absolutely. I think Brian asked a question here on one of our Facebook viewers. How can you attract the right people by healing yourself?
There's no other way.
You have to heal yourself. You have to look at yourself with a microscopic lens and say, you know, am I what I feel I need?
Yeah.
You know, am I deep down inside myself? Is there any broken parts from my childhood that I need to go through and I need to finalize? Is there any broken parts in myself that I need to build up, you know? So when you heal yourself, then everything else is inevitable, which means the people that are coming to you are healed. You know, you're not gravitating these people that, you know, have a lot of misery, a lot of drama, a lot of things with them, because it's a heal. And a lot of times, what happens, we can't attract those misery people because they want to be healed, you know, and because we have permeate our light, but you have to identify with these individuals, not so much, you know, I always say we want to be Captain Save-A-Lot, you know, we want to save the world.
Yeah,
okay, let me
save your
complex. Let me help you, yeah. Let me put you, let me help you financially, let me do this. And the thing about this is, I told this to one of my patients yesterday, and she was like, I just got caught up in with a relationship, and I got violated. I said, violated how? I said, you got violated. She said, somebody just scammed me. Mm-hmm. I said, but the thing about it is, did you open that trust door too soon?
Right.
You cannot open that trust door soon. Someone has to be worthy of you. Which means you got to know what you're worthy of first.
Right,
first
right.
of all, I'm worthy of love. I'm worthy of respect. I'm worthy of self-confidence. I can go to list as long.
Right.
What you can be worthy of. And if you feel, well, I don't have the self-confidence, okay, guess what? That part needs to build. You know what you don't have. You identify what you don't have. But the question is, you know what I'm saying, are you willing to go through the changes and make the changes in habits and behavior to build that thing up, to get it to a certain balance, as one would say? Because it's extremely important.
You know, you attract people who are a mirror to what you are on the inside. If you find yourself attracted to people who have a lot of problems and a lot of drama, and maybe there's something in you that you need to feel the power of being able to help someone. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with helping people, but ultimately people must help themselves. You can give people a hand up, but it's just like, you know, helping a drowning person. If they're pulling you under, then you're not helping them. They're harming you. So you got to look at those kind of relationships. Is it a situation where you're always in a state of distress, because of their problems, because of their need? You know, they're always calling you. You got to send them some money. Oh, I'm in jail. I got arrested for doing some, you know, wrong thing. Or, oh, I'm about to get put out of my house because I haven't worked in 6 months and, you know, I haven't paid rent. Or, I'm in this my boyfriend beat me up. Can you give me a place to stay for a while? And, you know, he's been beating me up for the last 2 years, and I'm still keep going back. I mean, do you find yourself trying to rescue people who create drama? And if that's the case, you got to look at yourself and say, what inside of me is needing so badly to feel needed that I'm allowing myself to be wrapped up in someone else's drama to the point where I have no peace? So you have to look at that as well and understand when there is an imbalance inside of you that needs to be healed. You attract the right people by being the right people. And like you say, Brian says, one cannot help anyone when they are lost. Absolutely. I mean, they have to find their own way. You can shine a light, like we said about, you know, driving along a dark road. Maybe they got a headlight out, they can't see. But you can shine a light, but they have to choose to follow the light. They have to choose. You can't make them. People have to choose to find their own way, and sometimes that's part of their life journey. wandering around in the wilderness for a while before they finally reach the promised land. You know, they got to go through that experience before they finally can see where they're supposed to be. And, you know, there's so many people who want to help people, but at some point you got to realize that they need to develop their own inner strength to help themselves, and you can easily become an enabler. Like Yada was talking about the codependency, you can easily become an enabler when you're not recognizing that they're not being helped. They're only developing the habit of leaning on you.
Right.
They're not getting any better. So this is when you got to make those decisions.
Yes. Carla Berry, one of our viewers on Facebook Live, stated, my mother has this issue with family members and she feels like she is a victim. She verbally abuses everyone in our household, and she needs help. Yeah. Mm. That's what it is. And in her mind, she believes she's doing the right thing.
Right.
But she's not.
Right.
She's not. So it's all about responding. It's like, you know, they usually in situations like this, when there is a family member that is verbally assaultive in some type of way, they either, again, are suffering with mental illness, because really and truly one that is have a habit of just responding that way over and over again, now we're looking at some ongoing mental incapacities of not even acknowledging that they're doing it, and they are just, it's a constant cycle. You know, they will constantly do it over and over and over again because they, in their minds, they think they're right, but of course they're not. And the person or the person that is exposed to this type of behavior is affected. And if they're not careful, you know, they will get, you know, it changes the way one thinks and feels about themselves. And
it's
so
like
that's why you have to always be retroactive. Again, like I said, proactive. If there's someone, like if a children there, so yeah, grandmother's just, you know, she's upset, but you know, don't let that get to your mind. Know that you know you are loved. Know that you know you're okay. You have to constantly remind them and try not to put them in that arena, and like if you see her coming, you know, sometimes that's what family does. And when families are toxic like that, that's a hard thing to do when it's a, what they call matriarch, patriarch. You know, when it was a father or mother that's abusive.
She said it was a mother. And I tell you, a verbally abusive,
hard.
It's very hard. A verbally abusive mother
you
can
have to
damage
remove yourself.
An entire family. Everybody will have self-esteem issues manifesting in their lives as a result of a verbally abusive mother, and I've seen so many families that one person can destroy everybody because something inside of them was destroyed. Someone abused them verbally. Someone made them feel bad about themselves. People verbally abuse others when they feel bad about themselves. When you love yourself, you don't have a need to abuse someone else. People who abuse others is because they are feeling negative about themselves. So if you have a mother who abuses everybody in the family, all of those children are going to have some type of issue with their own self-esteem until they can understand and forgive her and let go of however she made them feel. They're going to see manifested in their own lives the impact of her verbal abuse. Sometimes it's alcoholism, drug abuse, promiscuity, crime, violence against others. You will have relationships that are constantly broken. You will have a manifestation in your life as a result of that verbal abuse that attacks your self-esteem until you can heal. And you can heal when you can forgive, and you can forgive when you understand, and you can understand when perhaps you are able to discover the roots of her pain, because that's really what she's acting out of, is pain.
Absolutely. That's all it is. It's major, major pain. And I'm sure because I know some of the history of this family, you know, from past history, you know, upbringing, as well as, you know, different things that, that need to be done mentally and medically that, that needs to be accomplished and has not been fully, you know, dealt with yet. So the overall goal is to protect oneself at all costs, you know, saying so that you do not, you know, fall at prey, as one would say, to a situation like that.
Yeah.
And it's more in this society than ever. So
yes,
again, we'd like to go to a short break, and we will be back shortly.
All right, and we got some calls on the switchboard that have pressed one. So we're going to take some calls, and if you're on our switchboard now and have a thought, please press one now. Don't wait till 2 minutes before the show is over, because we won't be able to talk to you then. So we want to give you time to share your thoughts, so please press one now so we can open your mic and add you to this conversation. And you're listening to and watching Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And if you would like to join us on Facebook, if you're listening online, simply go to Facebook and go to Soulful Solutions. That's SoulfulSolutions. You will see our shining faces right here on the screen. And feel free to write in your comments, and we will share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we will be right back after this break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. Okay, here we go.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibrations. Shalom.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on The Female Solution Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Welcome back to... Are we finished?
Yes, we're done.
Okay. Welcome back to the Sofa Solutions, and I'm Dr. Debbie Green with my wonderful host, Naima Lateef, our executive producer. Again, our topic, we're at the top of the hour. Our topic for today is the factors of domestic violence and finding hope and peace and trying to make sense of something that's been here for so long. So we want to take that caller.
Yes, well, we got three callers on the line. So we're going to take you in this order. So hold on. We're going to take you 872-901 and then 314-833 and then 312-671. We're going to take you in that order. So hold on. Let's go first to area code 872-901. Grand Rising, thank you for joining us. Introduce yourself to our listening audience and give us your thoughts.
Well, good morning to all. This is Lois here in Chicago in the South Shore area. And, it's so wonderful, Dr. Denise and Naima, for all of us to be alive to discuss this. I know God is listening to it, number one. And, you know, as a 16-year-old girl getting married, not knowing what I was doing, of course, but for religious reasons, getting married at 16 years old, finding that the marriage was a total failure after two children were born. And being in the streets of Chicago, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, all night long with two babies and no place to go, and family, mother living, father living, sisters and brothers. And I found that family are the last ones to come and really help you when you really need. But God sent somebody else's family that took the two children and myself in. And that person really enhanced my life. At 21, I was set. As a matter of fact, I'm still set to this day as a result of that person, Winifred Clark, taking two children in with a lady she didn't even know, you know. But it was such a horrible experience at 21 years old and having a two-year-old baby and a two-week-old baby, and on the street. Do you understand?
Oh, my.
So we didn't have those type of facilities where you could go and sleep in some shelter or what have you in the late 60s. I had to trust in God. I don't know about nobody else, but I made it through God. I am standing in the place that this lady enhanced me and my children. At 21 years old, I'm standing on that foundation right now. So when you trust in God, you know, and you know what God can do, you see. And my daughters are school teachers, and my sons are not married. My daughters are, but we have a lot to say that what's going on now, and we're talking about it, what happened. But as long as you trust in God. Family, I find that family can be your worst enemies at times. And even though I was disobedient, everybody went, well, why didn't your mother take you in? Well, my mother said, if you marry that nothing, you'll never sleep in my house another night as long as I live. And she didn't care what went down. And when I stayed in my mother's house again, I was 53 years old, and she died about 2 months later. Okay? So I trusted in God. We didn't have these facilities. So if we can talk to our younger people, we can help somebody. That's what we're alive for. If we can help somebody, I don't have to tell you how many people I have helped in my lifetime, how many young ladies, young men, because of that lady, Winifred Clark. So thank you all so much for this time and sharing that lifetime experience. And to let you know what God did for me, he'll do for all of you all. Thank you. Love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lois. You know, before we take the next call, I just want to reflect, because I had a friend who also helped out somebody who had been put out of the house. A lot of times, as she said, it's our family who will hold us up to shame and ridicule. How many young girls do we know that get pregnant by somebody their parents didn't approve of? They get kicked out of the house. They're on the street pregnant or with a newborn, struggling. and maybe somebody takes them in, maybe some older guy, and they're beholden to him because he's helping them survive, and if the relationship gets abusive, they can't leave because they can't go back home because their family has already shamed them and put them out. So imagine what's happening to the child that's being raised in that situation, mm-hmm. how much hurt and anger that they have inside of them, and where does that manifest when they get older? At other people, mm-hmm. at the society that didn't help them, at all of those who contributed to their pain, and how easily triggered are they to anger because of being raised in all the vibrations of hurt, shame, fear, anger. And so a lot of what we're seeing now, a lot of the behavior in young people that no one can understand, where did all this violence come from? Look at the seed. Look at what was planted in them. Look at what was created for them to grow up in, because we decided to shame some woman who ended up pregnant or having a child, pregnant and having a child, by someone that the family didn't approve of. So we have to look at ourselves. We created whatever we see in the society. We made this mess. We did this because we were unloving. And so we have to fix it by giving love. And we praise the lady that was a part of your life, Sister Lois, because she's done, now that's God's work right there. So let me
yes,
go
it
to,
is.
Let me go to area code 314833, Grand Rising. I believe this is our brother Mark Shaheed from St. Louis. Yes, Grand Rising.
Yes, Assalamu Alaikum, that means peace be unto you, Naim al-Latif, and to the very distinguished, esteemed Dr. Debbie Green. This is Mark Shaheed from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. And I really was just been enjoying just listening to you, Naima, and to Dr. Debbie Green. Such excellent information. I want to ask the question, Dr. Debbie Green, you were given, I don't know, it might have been 6 or 7 things in terms of power. I mean, not to go back into them, but could you list those once again in terms of power of, if you would, please?
Yes, absolutely. Power of intention,
mm-hmm.
power of choice.
Okay.
Power of determination.
Power of what?
Determination.
Determination. Okay, gotcha. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. And the power of now.
Okay.
Power of self-love.
The power of self-love. Okay, that's the last one. Yeah, you know, I was just thinking, you know, in terms of how valuable love is, and there's an old saying that man needs to learn the 3 L's. And the 3 L's is learn, live, and love. If man would love to learn how to live, then this will help him to live, to learn how to love. Very, very important, you know. And when you were talking about attraction, this is actually a law of attraction. It's very important that we become familiar with certain laws, and most people are not law of attraction. You generally don't get what you want or what you're looking for. You generally get who you are. And so we'll have to be aware of the fact, who are you? Because that law of attraction, you will attract who you are. Are at that particular time. You know, when you talk about healing, in the word healthy is the word heal. We have to be healthy in all the vital components that comprise the human being. This is very important. And then when we look at the word change, is one of the first acronyms I think that Naima have gotten when I used to be a co-host on The Female Solution, is to choose to have a new growth experience. But what is important, it begins with choice, but also to choose to have a new growth experience, it requires discipline. This is a gold nugget. If you can use it, you can put it in your purse or put it in your pocket. If you can't, you can just throw it away in the trash can. But I found it to be very helpful in learning labs and workshops and seminars, and when I lecture, you know, I use it in terms of teaching children. As a matter of fact, I just did the Talim. Talim means teaching and learning in Al-Islam, teaching the youth this past fourth Sunday. Discipline. It definitely influences successful changes, improves people's lives in new endeavors. Very important, you know. Mm-hmm. So when we look at discipline, it definitely, you know, influences successful changes in our life. But a person that doesn't have the discipline, you know, then they can't have successful changes. And most certainly, it improves people's lives in new endeavors. And so these endeavors oftentimes never realized because the discipline is not there. You know, so we have to understand how do we change, and how do we change for the better as we teach our young people. You know, our young people, they learn what they live, you see.
Yeah.
So not a fault of their own. What are they being influenced by, you know? And oftentimes they're being influenced by what it is that's happening in the first unit of society, which is the family life. And by the way, you know, I think that we have to look at family as the acronym I use, father and mother inevitably loving you. We have the dysfunctionality in family life today where it's more like mammy, is mother inevitably loving you, but the father is not there. And there's a difference between a father and a daddy. If a male is not impotent, he can become a daddy. But a father becomes a role and responsibility, you see. There's more I could say about that, but this has been an interesting topic. I hope that you stay on this topic. You know, I don't know what you have planned. But I hope that you stay on it, Dr. Debbie Green. You're giving some valuable information because when we look at love, a couple of acronyms for that, we want to like only value emotions. We want to, the other one is leave out violent emotions. But then, you know, there's a process in terms of actually having, realizing valuable emotions that we should have. And when we see that there is no morality in our rationality, there is no morality in our emotions, we can't have emotional, what I call emotional intelligence. You know, emotions are of the human being. But we have to realize emotional intelligence. And we have to begin to teach this to our children coming up. You know, I could keep going, but I'm going to stop there because I know you have another caller, but I just want to let you, Dr. Debbie, how much I really appreciate you and Naima for having this soulful solution, is appropriately named. So much information that you share. May God continue to bless you and us. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you so much. And that was Brother Mark Shaheed from St. Louis. Of course, does so many family workshops and learning labs. And we have our next caller, area code 312671. I believe it's our brother minister, Robert Floyd Plump, Grand Rising. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Female Solution with Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green.
Well, in Yashalom, we don't die, we multiply. Black is beautiful with a blessed you, Dr. Debbie Green. I appreciate you. This is Brother Plump, Minister Robert Floyd Cole Plump. And I just wanted to share a few thoughts, like starting with, it really takes a village to raise one child, and no one can raise a kid, as they say. And that is true. We are thinking in a positive way. Thinking in a positive way with the village is it's going to take all of us to promote what Mayor Washington said. For an example, we must trump the whole community. And in the acronym of trump is peace, love, unity, marketing, people. I'd like to know from Dr. Green, is she in Chicago?
No.
No, sir. I'm on the outskirts of Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes.
Okay.
I always remind our listeners that our audience is global, and so are our hosts. We've got them from all over the country.
I have to make me a trip to Chicago, though, because there's a few people I need to see.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we travel everywhere. So if ever you I always remind our listeners, if you speak of an event or something happening, always say what city it's in, because it might not be the city where the listener is, so that people can know. And if it's something they really want to go to, they can take a flight or take a train or take a bus and come on down or get on the highway. But
I would just like to share the thought too that the struggle, the movement, and the coalition does go all over Chicago, America, and the world. And however, we must discover what the roots is God, family, and the people. And we always say that you are the most important person it is living that you can keep real and discover. And that's the way you learn to live. And to live is to live like what the words say, to live life in a more abundantly way. The complex of domestic violence is something that has to be abolished in every way, because people that really love one another, they don't hurt one another. Yeah, hurt hurts us all. Our health is our wealth, and if hurt helps hurts us all, then helps us all. So we still have to reach out to ourselves and to each other, share. The greatest discovery is within you as a character, yep. And continue to promote peace, love, unity, marketing, people. And that's what
Thank
we
you.
Do here in Chicago.
Thank you so much.
Yes. There's nothing like having a name with an acronym.
That's
peace,
right.
Love, and unity,
yes.
Marketing, people. I love it. Yes. Well, all of us need to represent something that reflects love, because that's ultimately what all of us are on the inside before we get mal-shaped by negative experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing to remember. Everybody at their core is a loving being. You don't come here to hurt people, but you can come here and be hurt by people, and then you spend the rest of your life reacting to the hurt, and that's what creates the violent behavior. Your reaction to hurt. So you got to heal the hurt. Find the core. Find the seed. Find where it was planted and uproot it so you can replant love. That's why we're here.
Absolutely. I just want to address one of our viewers, because I know our time is running short. Brian Victor's our Facebook live viewer. He's asking a question: how can someone get over their emotional numbness and stop hiding behind their work and living in a shell? Now, emotional numbness is caused by suppression. It's called by suppression, which means you have been suppressing your words, you've been suppressing your emotions and not actually talking about them. Because when you allow those words to come out of your being, then they're no longer suppressed. Now, this can be done in many ways. This can be done by journaling, or by talking with someone that you trust, or even a professional, if necessary, a counselor. But as you continue to do this, it's going to cause different situations, such as possibly anxiety or depression, because emotional numbness, which means you're not in touch with your emotional core. And one has to know what one feels. You got to know what you feel, not just what you feel about other people or situations or different circumstances. You got to touch bases with what's inside of you. So, which means that now it becomes a total responsibility and a obligation that you help yourself. There's no longer an option for you to think that you have to remain in this shell, because you're isolating. You said shell. That's when you say that to me, that's another word for isolation. So if you're working, if you're going to work, that's your only outlet. You could possibly going to work, and that's the only thing that literally saves you from a bout of serious depression if you have not already went through one. So the goal is to, again, start journaling. Now, if you are experiencing depression more than, I would say, a week to 2 weeks, then you need to seek professional help. If you have bouts of depression, which is here and there, okay, there's still hope regardless, but now it's time for you to take full responsibility. Start to open up that area of yourself, writing about it, journaling, finding someone that can listen subjectively, not objectively, and just allow you to express your feelings. If you continue to suppress, then it's going to cause more harm than good, mentally, emotionally, as well as physical, problems. So I don't want that for you. I want you to feel good that you're able to, do self-rescue, because that's what I'm telling you to do. Use your components of self-powers. Live a life of intention and probability, but most of all, live a life of purpose. You deserve that. You're worthy. You are loved. No matter what someone else has told you, no matter what you experienced in your life, now is the time. Do it now. Don't wait till later. Don't push it away. Don't push it down. Don't oppress it. Don't repress it. Definitely not depress it. I need you to handle that.
Absolutely. There we go. Yeah.
Thank you, all of my Facebook watchers. I love you.
Yeah.
I'll be here next Thursday, 8 a.m., 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 a.m., 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. Great discussion. Come join me, because we always got something good to talk about.
That's right. Yes. Thank you to all. Share their stories with us and powerful health and well-being here on the Female Solution.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe.
South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jeret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.